and what God is doing. I praise His name this day. I praise His name because I look across here and it was just 8 short years ago we went over to Jim's house. About 11 of us. 8 years ago. And then since that time, God has led many people to the Lord. He's brought the family together. It's been a roller coaster. There's been highs and there's been lows. And you know what? That's life. But one of the things that I had on my heart is that once we started State Line Baptist Church, it was in my heart to start another church. And you know what? God works things out in ways we really don't understand. And so I didn't think about it, but last week was the end of the 8 years. 8 years, a new beginning. And last week, you were part of a new worship service. Oh yes, it took place in Santo Domingo, in the Dominican Republic. But just a short period of time ago. Now, some things I'm going to tell you, I get choked up, okay? I get it over the way, and I tell you I'm going to do it. Because it feels it here. No, last week, just about a little bit before that, mom's in the hospital. And approaching possible surgery before I left. And she said to me, said, "Son," says, "if I have the surgery, you don't come back. You go get the job done." And so you know when God reinforces things, no matter what happens, you go get the job done. And she says, "I want a picture." And so what mom's heart was, she said, "Whatever else, I want the name of the church. I want a sign on the name of the church." Didn't have the name. So the name came to be The Way in the Mountain Baptist Church. The Way in the Mountain Baptist Church. So we found a painter who was going to paint the words. Then all of a sudden said, "You know, we need a logo." And so he painted a logo. And then he said, "You know, inside the church, wouldn't it be neat to have a background?" And so we went into the background, into the church. So I'm going to take you on a short journey, about 4 minutes this morning. Y'all just ride with me. Your family extended across. How that God just reaches and touches and builds. And all of us are at the throne. You know, we're just seconds away from there. Seconds away, because what that means is that when you go to the throne of God, and their prayers, they go to the throne of God, then we're right together. So together, we are one body in Christ. And I want to thank the church for the support, making things happen. And hopefully we'll go back in the month of June and have a vacation Bible school and pass out food and possibly build a house for one of the families up there. And so these are some of the things that are developing in the mind's eye. So as two things I brought back. One thing was that the last minute we purchased some Bibles. And one of the villages that we passed out Bibles, I literally had men running down the road to get a copy of the Bible. And so in my mind, the hunger for the Word. And the second thing that I had in my mind, Michiel, the guy, our interpreter and all, he's the pastor down there. One of the things he said is, "What project are you working on?" And so in my heart, that's the second thing that comes back to me. What project are we as the body of Christ working on? The men's group are going to be joining together. And as they organize, they're going to be creating projects. You know, that project might be here in Lowndes County. Or that project may be in Tennessee. It may be up in the mountains. It may be building somebody a house. But wherever it is, the body of Christ meeting together, loving one another, sharing and caring. I talked with Michi. I said, next Sunday, you know, we won't have the Samson who plays. Said, "How are y'all going to sing?" What kind of music are you going to use? And you know what he said, Michael? He said, and you know what? I didn't realize it, but what kind of music did y'all sing last Sunday morning during children worship? Y'all remember? Was it the same? Amazing. Bodies of Christ at work. We're one. We're one family. Over the next 3 weeks, I'd like to take you down a journey. And in this journey, what we're going to do is we're going to go on a crooked road and ask the question, how do you walk straight on a crooked road? How do you walk straight on a crooked road? And so what we're going to be looking at, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit, and we're going to say, who is He? And then we're going to, after we kind of define it, we think about who is the Holy Spirit, we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And then when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, then all of a sudden, the plan comes together and we realize that we as individuals can walk straight down a crooked road. Now, I don't know about the roads that you're on. I can tell you the roads I came off of in the Dominican Republic, they were crooked. And by the way, if y'all want to see that painting in picture, that's the only painting like that in the world. And the only way that you can get there is with four-wheel drive. Okay? And so therefore, it is one of those unique places in the world. I invite anybody to take a vacation and go see it. Okay? But in the meantime, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be something kind of unique because the Scripture is going to talk about not fruits of the Spirit. There is only one fruit of the Spirit. Now, that's kind of unique if you think about it. And we're going to see this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. But he says, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And what you're going to look at, it is one cluster. Let's see. Raspberry. Y'all know what a raspberry is? Yeah, the young kid, raspberry. Okay, raspberry. Okay, you know the raspberry. It has little bitty, what do you call it? Seeds, little bitty. Anyhow, raspberry. Okay, it's all one cluster. It's just what you, when you eat it, you don't eat a half a raspberry, you eat the whole thing. Okay? And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It is one cluster, and every born again believer has the fruit. You don't have a little love, or a little faithfulness, or a little meekness, or a little temperance, or you have it all. And so therefore, if we're going to walk on this trip, if we're going to go down this crooked road and we're going to walk straight, we're really going to have somebody to help us. And in fact, the only one that I know of that knows where all the potholes are, knows where all the dangers, knows where all the bridges are out and need to be traveled around, the only one that I know is the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said, He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He says, He will guide you in all truth. So that's what we're going to be focusing on, and that's what we're going to be looking on. And so we're going to ask some of the problems here. And as we start out, one of the problems that we find is that when we start this journey, we're a blob of flesh. Okay? I mean, we're made out of flesh. We're the dust that come out of the ground, as we sang about a while ago. Well, that's who we are. And inside of this, we recognize that we're crooked, but all of a sudden we have a confrontation with someone who's straight, and it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden He takes that stony heart and He gives us a new heart. And then when He gives us a new heart, we don't walk alone. We're going on down that crooked road, we're going up that mountain, but we're not alone. And you might can say, now, how does this really work? And the easiest way, okay, question time. Y'all know it's question time. Dangerous when I ask questions. Okay, question time. If I put water and oil in a quart jar, which one's heavier? I have a divided congregation. Some say water, some say oil. Well, you know what? This is one of those weird things. You're both right. Huh? How can they both be right? Well, let me put it like this. Oil is heavier, but water is more dense. And so what that means is, if you put oil and water in, that the oil is going to go to the top even though it's heavier, because the water is more dense and it goes to the bottom. And now, what happens is, we're full of oil, okay? And we're so heavy with the in this world, and we're so crooked in many ways, and we're full of oil. But when the Holy Spirit, when the living water comes in, the living water, even though we feel like we're heavy, the living water settles to the bottom and the oil pushes to the top. And what's the good news is, the more that the Holy Spirit comes in, the more water, the living water that comes in us, the more that oil is pushed up and pushed out of the way. So when God starts doing this work inside of us, He says, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to replace that old oil with living water, and I'm going to push it out. Now, why is this road so difficult as we think about it? And that is, walking in the Spirit means to not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit out of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. And we'll be reading with New King James Version. And then I'm going to be reading a section out of the New Living Translation. And in fact, just for introductory purposes, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation to read this for a few moments. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, verse 16, it says, "So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature's desire. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law." Now, here we go. We're trying to go down this crooked road. And our desire is to walk all over the place. Our desire is to kind of go like everybody else is going. Our desire is to go the broad way. Our desire is to be like everybody else. But wait a minute. There's something inside of us now, and it's called the Holy Spirit, and it's called... inside of us now, it's beginning to fight against that going all over the place, to setting our eyes straight, moving toward heaven. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do to us. Walking in the Spirit means not to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, what the fruit is our natural desires, and the flesh desires to lead things that will keep us out of heaven. Whoa, if you keep staying crooked, you know where you're going to go? I can tell you, it's not heaven. You only have two choices, heaven and hell. If you decide to go down the crooked road, this is where you're at. But let me tell you, if you desire to go down the crooked road, I'm going to look at your tree. And I'm going to see what kind of fruit is on your tree. Oh, it's very evident. It's very evident. In verse 19 it says, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostilities, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." Boy, Apostle Paul made no bones about it, did he? He says, okay, this is what this tree looks like. This is what the crooked road looks like, and this is where you're headed if you don't grab hold to somebody who knows the potholes. That somebody is that someone. That someone is Jesus. So then, what is the fruit? Here we go, verse 22. What is the fruit? Spiritual fruit is the result of a Holy Spirit-controlled life. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there's no conflict with the law. Now, which tree do you want to eat off of? The crooked tree or the fruit of the Spirit? Huh? That demands an answer. Crooked tree, fruit of the Spirit. There you go. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what God wants you to have. But now, in order to do this, if you grab hold of the Holy Spirit as your partner, you know what you got to do? You got to listen to Him. You got to listen to Him because He's going to tell you, hey, don't go down this road, don't go down that road, or else what will happen is what happened 1 year ago. 1 year ago when we were up in the Dominican Mountains and we were passing out food, there was another group that came up that had not been up the mountain before, and they drove up the mountain without a guide, and they came up the mountain in their purification water. They wanted to help people, but on the way back, they went off the side of the mountain. So, what's the point? The point is, if you don't have a guide, man, it can happen. It can happen. We need guides. And we need to know where those potholes are, and we need to know where to slow down, and we need to know where to speed up. And so therefore, the Holy Spirit, when He comes in and controls in our life, this is what He'll do. And you might say, now wait a minute, if I want this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and I don't want the fruit of the world, worldliness, because I know where that's ultimately headed, how do I do it? How do I start? Where does it all come together? Verse 24. How do you start walking straight on a crooked road? And let me put it kind of plainly. You got to nail it to the cross. You got to nail it to the cross. Your desires, your passions, your wants, your needs, you got to nail it to the cross. Verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. If we then are filled by the Holy Spirit, let us be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and if we live in the Spirit, He tells us that we need to walk in the Spirit. Now, just a little bit about this guy that's going to be walking with you. And who is he? He is the third person of the Trinity. He is the third person. And He is a person. By the way, the Holy Spirit. When I talk about the Holy Spirit, what comes to your mind? You know what comes to some people's mind? When you say the Spirit, they think, woo. All of a sudden, here comes the hoodoos are coming through. The gremlins are going to get you. The spirits, they're going to float along, and all of a sudden they're going to come out, woo, you know, like Ghostbusters. They're just going to, this green slime. You know, a lot of people, that's what comes to some people's minds. But they don't realize that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about a real person. He's for real. In fact, He's so real, He speaks in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, He who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. The Holy Spirit speaks. He intercedes in Romans 8, 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He testifies in John 15, 26. He leads in Romans 8:14 and Acts 8:29. He commands in Acts 16:6. He guides in John 16:13. He appoints in Acts 20:28. He can be lied to. He can be insulted. He can be blasphemed. He can be grieved. Hey, we're talking about a person. In other words, if I told you to go over there and capture that fish and put a hook in his mouth and shake him, he would hurt. He would wiggle. He's a person. He's not a fish. Right? Right. Okay. He's a person. And just as real as Johnny Bow is, that's how real the Holy Spirit is. So when we start going down this crooked road, and the one that grabs us by the arm and the one that points us on the way, he is a real person. We're not walking by ourselves. We're not walking in darkness. We're there. We're there. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He is God. He is eternal according to Hebrews 9:14. He's all powerful according to Luke 1:35. He is everywhere present. He's omnipresent according to Psalm 139:7. He's all knowing according to 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. He is the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, He is God. So I'd kind of like to give you a closing thought here. And that's in John 16:12. It says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of the truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whosoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." That is the Holy Spirit. He is going to come. And when He comes, He's going to manifest Himself. Nine fruits, clusters, love and joy and peace. We're going to pick that up next week with love, with joy, with peace. Because you see, in order to walk straight down that crooked road, you got to take hold to the hand, the guide, the one that is God. Listen to Him. He will guide you in all truth. And then when He starts guiding you down, all of a sudden, you're going to see who you really are in Christ. And when the Holy Spirit guides you, He's going to do this. People are going to look at you and they're going to see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, temperance. Oh, they're going to see it in you because you're going to be hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before You this morning, we come with joy in our hearts that we have one who is going to lead us down this crooked road and we're going to be straight. And Father, I pray this morning for those who do not have somebody that'll lead them to heaven, that'll carry them up to the mountain to the cross. Father, I pray right now that inside of their heart, in their life right now, they'll say, "Okay, God, I'm ready to nail it to the cross." Father, for those believers who have been just willy-washing and going down and think that everything's good, but now, God, they sense the road's crooked and they need somebody to walk with them. Father, I pray right now that their passions and their desires and the things that would lead them away from the cross, Lord, they'll nail it to the cross and walk straight. Father, that's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Where do you start? Take hold of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When you saw that mural on the backside of the church in Santa Elena, it said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the way of Christ. So follow Jesus this morning. If you've not given your life to Jesus, I invite you to come and let's pray together. If you've got areas in your life that you need to nail to the cross, passion and desires, you can do it where you'll be standing or sitting. But I encourage you to go to the prayer altars and nail it to the cross. There's just something about this. When we tell Him we're nailing it to the cross and we're leaving it there, there's something that's free. And you will be free. You will be free. Give your life to Jesus this morning. Nail your passions and desires to the cross. Other needs, prayer altars are open. So what is God saying to you this morning? What is God saying to you? Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.